Judaism thus proposes that informing ourselves we seek not necessarily the road less traveled, but rather the road taken by the greatest figures in our history, as well as by those humble men and women from whom we descend, who practice daily rituals and thereby infuse their lives with wisdom and their homes with holiness. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, Episode 1, Robert Frost and the Meaning of Mitzvah. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman. This episode of 10-Minute Mitzvah is generously sponsored by Barbara Cohen.
Robert Frost is one of the most beloved poets in American history, and yet the poem for which he is most famous is utterly, entirely misunderstood. It is known for its last lines, but it is the earlier phrases, often forgotten, that must be remembered. The poem begins, "Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler, long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth, then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had warned them really about the same." So Frost writes, had warned them really about the same. Frost is telling us that actually the two roads diverging may not have been that different at all. And the poem concludes, "I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." Everyone knows the final lines of the poem, but they often ignore the rest. The poem is cited as a celebration of nonconformity, as if that is a value in and of itself, but that is not the point of the poem. As David Orr writes, quote, "Most readers consider the road not taken to be a paean to triumphant self-assertion. I took the one less traveled by. But the literal meaning of the poem's own lines seems completely at odds with this interpretation. The poem's speaker tells us he shall be telling, at some point in the future, of how he took the road less traveled by. Yet he has already admitted that the two paths equally lay in leaves and the passing there had warned them really about the same. So the road he will later call less traveled is actually the road equally traveled. The two roads are interchangeable." The poem, Orr adds, isn't a salute to can-do individualism. It's a commentary on the self-deception we practice when constructing the story of our own lives. End quote. The point, in other words, that the road less traveled is not necessarily the better one at all. We bear this in mind as we begin our series on the 613 mitzvot of the Torah. And in order to understand the meaning of mitzvah, we can look to a Robert Frost poem, one very different from the road not taken, one that truly captures the nature of meaning in our lives. The meaning of the word mitzvah is commandment, and it refers to the myriad of mitzvot, the plethora of obligations, the assortment of rituals and restrictions that make up the Torah. And yet in Jewish popular parlance, the word mitzvah is also synonymous with good deed. If someone does something worth celebrating, we often say, without any irony, that person did a mitzvah. As Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein once noted, we must pause to ponder how seemingly odd this actually is. Children in day schools are taught to do mitzvahs. If they perform an act worth celebrating, they might be sent to school with a mitzvah note describing the laudable activity, the quote-unquote big mitzvah in which they engaged, so that, upon presenting the note, they will be celebrated as a mitzvah boy or a mitzvah girl. But imagine describing this in translation. Imagine telling a child who, say, assisted an elderly person with carrying groceries, "I'm so proud of you. That was such a big command. You're such a big mitzvah boy. I'm going to send a command note to school." It does sound strange, yet for us, in Hebrew, it is totally natural. And the point, as Rabbi Lichtenstein explains, is that for traditional Judaism, the word mitzvah, command, and the good deed are actually synonymous because we believe in the supreme goodness of he who commands. And our notion of goodness stems not from our desire of self-expression, of taking the road less traveled, but rather from an understanding that we need assistance from someone much greater than ourselves, someone much wiser than ourselves, in forming ourselves, in becoming wiser versions of ourselves, in becoming who we are called to be. It was Antonin Scalia, in a speech at his child's graduation, who took note of a platitude that is often quoted at commencements, one cited as often as Frost's poem about two roads in a wood. This phrase can appear as "follow your star," or perhaps, as Scalia noted, "people prefer Polonius's 'to thine own self be true.'" But as Scalia added, this can be either very good or bad advice, depending on who you truly are. The truth is, it is not enough to be true to ourselves, because we often need help in becoming our best selves. Scalia said, quote, "It is a belief that seems particularly to beset modern society, that believing deeply in something and following that belief is the most important thing a person can do." And then he added, "I am here to tell you that it is much less important how committed you are than what you are committed to. Movement," Scalia further said, "is not necessarily progress. More important than your obligation to follow your conscience, or at least prior to it, is your obligation to form your conscience correctly." And Scalia also said, "In short, it is your responsibility, men and women of the class of 88, not just to be zealous in the pursuit of your ideals, but to be sure that your ideals are the right ones, not merely in their ends, but in their means. That is perhaps the hardest part of being a good human person. Good intentions are not enough. Being a good person begins with being a wise person. Then, when you follow your conscience, you will be heading in the right direction." End quote. Judaism thus proposes that in forming ourselves, we seek not necessarily the road less traveled, but rather the road taken by the greatest figures in our history, as well as by those humble men and women from whom we descend, who practice daily rituals and thereby infuse their lives with wisdom and their homes with holiness. The mistaken interpretation of Frost's poem is often applied to religion, so that the sublime spiritual moment is often defined as one that is rare and unusual, less traveled. Thus, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks commented, quote, "We have developed in the West a strange view of religious experience, that it's what overwhelms you when something happens completely outside the run of normal experience. You climb a mountain and look down. You are miraculously saved from danger. You find yourself part of a vast and cheering crowd. It's how the German Lutheran theologian Rudolf Otto defined the holy, as a mystery, mysterium, both terrifying, tremendum, and fascinating, fascinans. You are awed by the presence of something vast. We have all had such experiences." But, Rabbi Sacks added, "that is all they are, experiences. They linger in the memory, but they are not part of everyday life. They are not woven into the texture of our character. They do not affect what we do or achieve or become. Judaism," Rabbi Sacks continued, "is about changing us so that we become creative artists whose greatest creation is our own life, and that needs daily rituals. Shacharit, mincha, ma'ariv," meaning the daily prayers, "the food we eat, the way we behave at work or in the home, the choreography of holiness." End quote. It is not the road less traveled, in other words, that sets us on the path to holiness, but the reverse. And I would be misunderstood, ladies and gentlemen, if in reinterpreting Frost, I am advocating eschewing individuality. I often cite Yale Law School professor Stephen Carter, who in his book Civility describes how as a child he moved with his family to a new location, and he was quite nervous because, as he puts it, his family was, quote-unquote, black strangers in a white neighborhood. But Carter writes, quote, "All at once, a white woman arriving home from work at the house across the street from ours turned and smiled with obvious delight and waved and called out welcome in a booming, confident voice I would come to love. She bustled into her house only to emerge minutes later with a huge tray of cream cheese and jelly sandwiches, which she carried to our porch and offered around with her ready smile, simultaneously feeding and greeting the children of a family she had never met, and a black family at that, with nothing to gain for herself except perhaps the knowledge that she had done the right thing. We were strangers, black strangers, and she went out of her way to make us feel welcome. This woman's name was Sarah Kestenbaum. Sarah died much too soon, but she remains, in my experience, one of the great exemplars of all that is best about civility." End quote. Sarah Kestenbaum was, as Carter recounts, a religious woman, and here she is defined by her dedication to a singular mitzvah. She no doubt observed many rituals, but she has lived on immortally for one extraordinarily impressive virtue. This, for Maimonides, is the meaning of the well-known statement by the sage Hananiah ben Akashia. God, he said, wished to merit Israel, so he gave them much Torah and many mitzvot. The point, for Maimonides, is not merely that we have commandments that obligate us all, but also that in the plethora of obligations, there are those that speak uniquely to our respective gifts and our personalities, one which we can make our own. The striking point is that in walking the road more traveled, we can also create our own path. In journeying the path of our predecessors, we can also achieve individuality. In joining countless others in the journey that is the life of commandments, we also discover ourselves. And therefore, if there is a Robert Frost poem to which we should turn, which we should make the motto and mantra of our lives, it is one that is much less well known. Reading this poem, one might say, is the road less traveled. It is called Two Tramps in Mud Time. Frost describes how much he enjoyed, seemingly in the Vermont countryside, chopping wood as a hobby, when suddenly, he tells us, two tramps come, looking angrily at him because for them, chopping wood is their source of livelihood. Frost writes, "Nothing on either side was said. They knew they had but to stay their stay, and all their logic would fill my head, as that I had no right to play, with what was another man's work for gain. My right might be love, but theirs was need, and where the two exist in twain, theirs was the better right, agreed. His love for chopping wood, in other words, must give way to their need for chopping wood. But the experience, suddenly, is transformed for Frost into a metaphor, one regarding avocation, something one loves to do, and also vocation, what we are called or commanded to perform. And Frost concludes, "But yield who will to their separation. My object in living is to unite. My avocation and my vocation, as my two eyes make one in sight. Only where love and need are one, and the work is play for mortal stakes, is the deed ever really done for heaven and the future's sakes." We are able to find a mitzvah that we can make our own, a mitzvah that we enjoy, that we love, one which also, because it is a command, we need to actually perform. This is a mitzvah that is an expression of inner excellence, of avocation and vocation. Mitzvot reflect the Jewish vocation, but in the myriad of mitzvot, we also find the source of how we can become the individual we are asked to be. The mitzvot are the path trod by our ancestors. They embody not a road less traveled, but more so. That is their virtue. Studying these commandments allow us not only to discover the story of our people, but also to find mitzvot to make our own. The path more traveled is the path of the study and embrace of mitzvot. And I look forward over the next year to walking that path together with you. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.